It is one of the best expressions of how justice work can be a spiritual practice for Unitarian Universalists that I have heard. Humility and forgiveness for ourselves, liberation for our hearts, not wanting to live in a small-hearted world, curiosity for what we can create together. These are all reasons I do this work as well, and why I think of it as spiritual work, and maybe it resonates with some of you. This congregation has always, which means through its entire 30-year history, always been engaged in justice ministry work. I want to define that for you, because what we often say is justice work, right? And I believe that language is important. A justice ministry is work toward justice that we do together based on a shared understanding that it's part of our spiritual work as Unitarian Universalists, just like Mary Byron said. We can do justice work in a lot of settings, right? And many of us do. We do justice work in lots of settings out in the community. When we use the word ministry, we're saying that we're taking actions toward healing the world and toward becoming more whole ourselves, because we believe that that is important to our spiritual work. In other words, we're working toward inner transformation while we are making a change in the world. For me, that means there's a connection between the justice work that I do and my belief in universal love and salvation, that everybody needs to be held in love and care, so everyone deserves to have what they need to survive and to thrive. And it means that I am looking to be changed by what I learn as I work toward a world where this is true. Our congregation's mission statement reads, "We are a faith community rooted in Unitarian Universalist principles, called by love to welcome the seeker, cultivate relationship, nurture spiritual wholeness, and grow justice in the world." And our values statement, which is actually our original mission statement from 30 years ago, says that we encourage social action in the name of liberty and justice. This has been our thing for this whole time. And our justice ministry has looked different over the years. We've been working over the past couple of years to create a structure that focuses our efforts in a way that is both effective and satisfying. Most recently, after a workshop last April with Heather Vickery from the UU Service Committee, we created a system that we hope will do just that. Here's what it looks like in my head. Fun, right? I don't have the microphone. I can't go over there. All right. So we're going to start with the pinkish looking things around the edges. These are what we have been calling focus teams. And what I want to invite you to start thinking about as justice action ministries. Because these three people listed under the racial justice action ministry are not the team of people who are doing that work on behalf of this congregation. They are the facilitators of this work, right? So for now, we have three justice action ministries. Are you ready for the acronym? They're JAMS. We have three JAMS. We have the Immigrant and Refugee Rights JAM. We have the Madison Organizing in Strength, Equity, and Solidarity JAM, or MOSES. And we have the Racial Justice JAM. And yes, I'm aware that we're saying justice twice when we say that, and I think that's okay. And we have the names of folks here. I'm going to see if we can get this on the website after it's proofread by our justice folks, because I made it this morning. But so those are the three current JAMs, right? And then in the bottom right there, there's space for more, right? If one of these three things is not the thing that makes your heart sing as you work toward, talk to Kelly Kearns or to me or to Eva. or to Rhonda Broadbeck, who's with us online. And if there are enough people to represent a thing and to create a set of facilitators, we've got a new jam. That's our jam. I just love saying that. The work of our jams is to create opportunities for the congregation and, where possible, the larger community to get involved through the frameworks of education and service and advocacy and public witness and civil disobedience, the framework of five kinds of doing actions, right, that Heather taught us. The jams recruit participants for actions. They collect data, like headcounts and numbers of postcards, right, on the things that we do, so we can start to learn how effective we're being. They meet or communicate regularly. They set goals and objectives for the work of that jam. They communicate about their jam and their actions through the newsletter and the website, through outreach, and where possible, in worship. And they have three or more facilitators. If they fall below that, we think of that as not enough capacity to do the work of a jam. And then that jam dissolves. Second, the smaller blue shaded boxes. Those are service ministries. Service ministries invite all of us to take action, maybe one-time action, maybe ongoing action, to support a community need via some particular service or donation. There's no expectation of inviting to these multiple kinds of action, right, through like the jams. And there's no expectation really of deepening congregational understanding on the issue. We kind of put some stuff out there about it and let people know what they are, and that's it. So our current service ministries are Share the Plate, which we do every Sunday, right? Sharing out half of our Sunday offering to community organizations. UU the Vote is a service ministry that comes up cyclically, where we where one of our folks, Megan Barry Lulio, invites us to write postcards. And the third is the River Food Pantry service ministry, that Peggy Hack works with Prairie Society, actually, Prairie Congregation, to provide service to the River Food Pantry. And then finally, there's the coordinating team. That's the big yellow thing in the middle. The coordinating team is Kelly Kearns, Eva Wingren, and Rhonda Broadbeck. And they provide guidance and direction to the jams. They meet with the jams periodically. They help the jams recruit leaders. They help them define roles. They help them set strategy. They help them understand and use the JRUU systems of communication. They help them evaluate impact. And this used to be called the Justice Leadership Team up until this morning. The Justice Coordinating Team also reaches out to new and exploring members who have expressed interest in justice ministries. The goal of that outreach is to get to know the new members, what they're interested in doing, what their desired skill set is, what their level of commitment might be like, why they want to do this work, right? Why they want to serve this ministry. They provide introductions to the jams, and they orient new members to our different systems of how things work. This is how we think it's going to work. And like everything else UU, it is a living tradition that will change as it needs to. Oh, and all the little boxes, what do those say? That's all of us. That's all of us. And we're, you know, some of us are hanging around the edges. Some of us are connected into one or more of the jams. Some of us are connected in different places, but that's all of us. We are all the James Reed Justice Ministry. If you want to get involved, talk with Kelly or Eva or Rhonda or me. For the rest of our reflection time, we have two members from our Racial Justice Jam, Randy Coloni and Mary Wichita, who will share a little bit about that jam and why they serve this ministry.
Hi, I'm Randy Coloni, and I use he, him, his pronouns. Nehemiah, a Black-led community development organization here in Madison, has a slogan they use when asked, what can folks do to combat racism? That slogan is educate, affiliate, and donate. This is what the Racial Justice Action Ministry, or RJAM, aspires to help us all to do. Currently composed of Ron Malzer, myself, Mary Wichita, and Jeanette Clausen, we would eagerly welcome any interested parties or members to become part of the team. Our first purpose is to remind all of us that our spiritual principles call upon us to fight systemic racism. Secondly, to offer resources that encourage and enable us Reavers to take action by offering gatherings such as book clubs, study groups, and film viewings, maintaining a guide to recommended books, organizations, and volunteer opportunities on our website to aid in self-guided growth, and by directly inviting you to join us in various types of direct anti-racism efforts, hopefully including the things that Reverend Karen mentioned, education, direct service, advocacy, public witness, and or civil disobedience. The collection box in the foyer for needed laundry and toiletry supplies for the Nehemiah Pantry reflects such a direct service donation action. To highlight an example of why we believe education is so important, I'd like to share a new insight I just recently gained through a class I'm taking called Roots Deeper Than Whiteness. Learning more about the history of my ancestors, it was sort of a painful aha moment when I was shown that the very concept of whiteness was developed as a divide and rule technique. Immigrants to the US, like my Italian grandparents, Irish, German, Polish, and Jewish immigrants, anyone with light skin, was met in this country with more welcome and opportunity to advance if they did not collaborate with Black, Indigenous, or other people of color. The term for that is BIPOC, I'll be using BIPOC. Accepting a new identity as white, clearly separate and apart from BIPOC, brought favor from banks, rental agents, realtors, and employers, undermining traditional cultures and expanding the divide between white and non-white. I now recognize this as a building block of the white supremacy mindset, a carefully orchestrated manipulation by white elites in power. The purpose was to prevent the diverse folks who were all struggling with poverty from cooperating to gain power together. The lesson is that the powerful and wealthy don't want a coalition among the various diverse people on the low end of income and power scale. The beloved community that we talk about is a threat to the current power structure. Division and infighting is nurtured. I believe those of us with white privilege need to learn this kind of history if we are to understand and then dismantle white supremacy and systemic racism. You can find the RJAM information and education opportunities by going to the jruuc.org website and selecting the Justice tab. And we would be glad to hear from you if you want to discuss and explore these issues, or if you have suggestions for our work. Our contact information can be found on the website. And now Mary Wichita will share some of her thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. My name is Mary Wichita, and I use she, her, hers pronouns. I want to share why, I have chosen to be part of the Racial Justice Action Ministry, RJAM. I'm just getting used to that. But I love the living tradition. Over the past 2 years, I have made a home in Madison for at least 6 months of the year. And thanks to my neighbor and friend, Heike Sainish, I started coming to read last fall and then picked right up again this fall. It is proving to be a perfect fit for me, providing an outlet for my spiritual growth growth and community service, as well as an opportunity to work with really wonderful people. And this service and your comments and so on just reinforces that. I'm grateful to REEB for providing a beloved, supportive community within which I can channel my desire to work on behalf of racial justice during the 6 months that I am here. And then, of course, up north. But anyway, I am grateful. I started attending REEB as you were determining whether and how to support the eighth principle. And I believe that a robust racial justice ministry is an obvious vehicle for us to make good on that commitment. I don't know about the rest of you, but I only have so much time and energy. And so choosing this team as my primary focus for racial justice work serves several purposes. It enables me to meet and work with other very cool people from REEB, thus reinforcing my commitment to the REEB community. And it also provides a safe place for me to explore my own biases, my history, and the ways in which I behave, both to support but also undermine racial justice. I think any book discussion that we engage in will certainly help to do that, and other efforts as well. Also, I really like how we're organizing our work around the goals that Nehemiah expresses of educate, affiliate, and donate. Participating in actions and events organized by BIPOC-led organizations like Nehemiah supports educate and affiliate. The book discussion, of course, are continually updating our website link, and other actions we choose to sponsor will reinforce educate. And I think the, what we call now the other group, the support, the community work, Share the Plate, clearly supports our efforts to donate. And maybe we'll think of other ways to do that as well. With your help, of course, we can do even more. I want to add that the very well-attended Wisconsin Black in Black and White event sponsored by Nehemiah that several of us, including Jeanette and Mike Clausen, attended Tuesday night, demonstrated the ripple effects that educate can have on individuals and ultimately systems. Professor Christy Clark Pajara, initially reluctant to participate, to be part of it because of her busy schedule and also very skeptical that white people would sign up, has become a committed and passionate teacher, as those of you who have taken the class know, in Black History for a New Day. And she talked about this as part of that panel discussion afterwards. And then after taking the class, State Supreme Court Justice Jill Karowski has made it her mission to bring Black History for a New Day to judges around the state. And imagine the impact as judges open their eyes to this history. What impact will my work and your work, if you'll join us, have? Well, for sure, the opportunity to learn about ourselves and each other. And for sure, it will open doors to helping to correct injustices, following the lead of organizers directly impacted by injustice. If these are accomplished, I will certainly feel that it's time worthwhile.
Thank you so much to you both. So brave to get up and speak.